Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
And welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexrode taking you through this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. A whole bunch of you responding with all kinds of wings and or restaurant selections, whether it's on Twitter, whether it's on our text line at 615-737-1025. We really appreciate that. We'll get to that later in the show. But right now, we're going to switch gears back to the NFL and bring in our friend Albert Breer, senior NFL reporter at the MMQB. He is all over the place and does really great work. Albert, thanks so much for taking time to come on with us today. We appreciate it.
You got it. You got it, guys.
So, obviously, with the big news coming out yesterday with the Miami Marlins and the outbreak in Major League Baseball, many people began kind of connecting the dots and kind of forecasting what this could look like for the NFL once they resume play. How concerned are you about what happened with the Marlins and what that could mean for the NFL as they get back into training camps here?
You know, I obviously got the attention of people in the league, and I don't think, you know, what they're interested in so much is how it happened. It's more how baseball is able to contain it and manage it going forward. Look, these things are going to happen, you know, and I know, like, the league office and the teams expected, you know, you're going to have guys test positive. You're going to have opt-outs. Now, maybe they didn't do a good enough job of messaging that, you know, ahead of the, you know, open of training camps where this still feels like a shock when guys are testing positive or opting out. But this is going to be part of the equation no matter what. You know, I think the bigger question all along has been, you know, how effectively can you contain it? And when you do have something that is widespread, that does hit a team, how can that team, you know, bounce back from that, and how can that team get itself in a position where it's going to be able to play games again? And so I actually think, you know, when the Marlins situation happened, you know, of course it worries people in the NFL seeing that, thinking, you know, that could happen to us. But I think there's also kind of an element of education there where, you know, now they're going to get to see what baseball does. They're going to get to see what, you know, the Marlins do, what the Phillies do, what happens in that sport now in the aftermath of all of this. And I would think that there's probably going to be at least a few things they'll be able to learn from it.
Yeah, Albert, you wrote about a lot of this stuff in your latest MAQB, including touching on the bubble idea. And I know there were a few players, actually one around here, Taylor Lewan, who had a tweet storm about why, you know, a bubble would make sense. But can you sort of, you know, describe to the listeners why that was never really a strong consideration for this league and not really realistic?
Yeah, the players were against it. The chief medical officer, Dr. Alan Sills, didn't think it was feasible. And this is back in April and May when they're kicking around different things, when, you know, I sort of started to understand the gravity of the situation and that it could affect their season. You know, and so it didn't really get off the ground when it was discussed between the players and the league and the players and the teams, you know, back in the spring. And I honestly think a huge part of that is just the feasibility of it. I don't think it's like basketball or hockey or even baseball. Like, you have a lot more people. You know, I think minimum, you're talking about, if you were going to construct a bubble, it'd be like 125 at least people per team. You could go to a pod format, but then, you know, okay, so now you got maybe 8 teams in 4 different locations. So how does that work? And are you able to find 4 locations that not only have, like, the hotel rooms, but also have NFL caliber fields, not just for games, but to practice on, that have weight facilities? It's just, you know, the logistics of football, I think, would have made it very, very difficult. And that's without even getting to the fact, and I know you guys know this, the attrition rate in the NFL is so high, guys coming on and off rosters because of injuries. How do you manage that and bringing guys into and out of the bubble? It's just, it would be very, very complicated to do it in the NFL, and they would have to do it for a longer period of time than hockey or basketball are doing it. And so, you know, I think they sort of came to the conclusion in April or May that if they were forced into that position, you know, then it may not be feasible to have a season at all.
Albert, you mentioned players opting out. I think the latest today, the highest profile player today to opt out was Dante Hightower of the New England Patriots. How prevalent do you think players opting out is going to be this season?
We'll find out in the next few days. I mean, we don't have a hard date yet on when the opt-out deadline is going to be. That's going to ride on, you know, when the sideliners get done. And so when the lawyers finish the side letters to this agreement, it'll be 7 days after that. I think we'll see some more over the next few days. I don't know how many the number is going to be. But there are some at-risk guys. You know, and there are other guys, you know, like a Dante Hightower that's going to be voluntary. And so I think you might have, you know, a couple per team. The Patriots have had more than others. They're an older roster. They've got more guys who've made their money, so that makes sense. And I think that, you know, in most cases, you'll be able to sort of point to something with each of these guys as a reason why they did it.
Yeah, the Marlins situation, of course, top of mind right now. You mentioned in your piece that a lot of people are asking the question of, you know, what's the number on a shutdown, you know, for a team or for, you know, a game being forfeited? I guess as you talk to people around the league, how wide-ranging are those answers, and what would you think? How do you think that will look as we get going into the season?
Well, it seems like with the college programs, it's like I don't want to speak out of school here because I don't cover that sport, you know, but I do follow it. It seems like the number, like with the college programs, like when you get 15 or 20, something like that, right, like then they'll shut down. Would that be the number? I don't know.
A college team just had two staffers, and that was a shutdown reason, but of course it's preseason.
Yeah. So I think it's, I mean, that's something that teams are definitely looking for clarity on. You know, I talked to a couple teams yesterday that were, you know, seeking some sort of clarity on what would constitute a quote-unquote outbreak. And, you know, if you have an outbreak, then that leads to a shutdown. And so the commissioner, I think, is going to have to do something in giving the teams clarity, just to be fair. You know, and obviously I think there's going to be some discretion involved. If, you know, say your strength coach gets it, you know, then that's obviously different than someone on the practice squad getting it, because the strength coach touches so many different people and is around so many different people, you know. And so, you know, I think there's going to have to be some flexibility in whatever they do. But I do know that teams are looking for, you know, a hard number. Like, what would it take to constitute an outbreak, and what would it take to constitute what would it take to trigger a shutdown? And remember, guys, like, there's like player safety issues that could be tied. If you think about some of them, it's, you know, well, what happens if, you know, you have six cases, but all six cases are on the offensive line? Oh, like, can that team play that Sunday? Is it safe for the quarterback to play that Sunday? You know, there's just so many different questions when you get into the weeds of this that are going to be complicated. And I think that, you know, most of the teams would rather have at least some framework of answers to those questions rather than everybody working through this on the fly, which it felt like baseball was sort of doing yesterday.
Albert Breer, senior reporter at the MMQB, on the line with us. And Albert, I was talking with Joe yesterday, and I've always been a guy that really hasn't cared about the preseason or anything that comes along with it. But I think given everything we've been through with no sports and everything that's been happening, I'm actually going to miss preseason football pretty heavily. Are you going to miss the preseason games?
Yeah, you know, there are certain things I actually really did, like, genuinely enjoy about the preseason. Like, this year, I think it would be like getting a chance to see Tua and Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert play, you know, like every year it's the rookie quarterbacks. And then, you know, if a new coach is bringing in something exciting, like a new system, like seeing what Joe Brady is going to do with the Carolina offense. So there are little things about the preseason that are always fun, and maybe they don't hold your attention for more than half hour, 45 minutes of those games, you know, but that's always something that you kind of look forward to. And then, you know, of course, there's the first set of games where it's just, the idea of seeing football, like real live football and guys in their game uniforms and all that different stuff, that's always fun. And so, yeah, I think there's absolutely some things that I think we'll all miss. And, you know, obviously it's going to be an adjustment for the coaches too. I talked to Bill O'Brien about this the other day, you know, and he told me he was talking with Doug Marrone about the fact that, you know, they may be in an advantage because those two guys coached in college. You know, Doug Marrone was the head coach at Syracuse, and O'Brien was the head coach at Penn State. And when you're in college, you have to play without a preseason. So there are all kinds of little quirks to this. And that I think, you know, some teams are going to do well with, other teams are not going to do well with. And I think to a man, what you're finding with most of the coaches that you talk to is that whoever adjusts the best, whoever has the players that are the most responsible away from the building, whoever handles the circumstances and is most flexible as they change, those are going to be the teams that are going to do well with all of this over the next 6 months.
You know, yeah, on those preseason games, Albert, I've seen some NFL fans say, oh, good, just do away with them all together. I'm like, you know, a lot of times this month we need some kind of sports to watch. Like, I'm definitely not for that. But what would your ideal, you know, long-term number be for preseason games, especially given that more and more coaches, it seems, just play their key guys less and less?
Well, we're going to see, like, so, you know, next year when they almost certainly go to 17 games, the preseason will get cut down to 3. So that's one that's, you know, just automatic. I think 2 would probably be the best number, you know, where you have 1 where it's the starters getting ready and everything else, and backups and, you know, end of the roster guys playing the second half. And then maybe the second game is sort of like the fourth preseason game now, where you're, you know, letting guys kind of battle it out for jobs. So I think that would make sense, and that would probably be enough. And I honestly think the one thing they could do that would replace some of that for all of us, make a bigger deal of the joint practices. And I don't know if you guys have been to any of the joint practices over there at the Titans facility, but I'm telling you, they are a fantastic take. Like, it is so much better than a preseason game. You get to see so many things that you normally wouldn't see. And it's, you know, linemen going up against each other. It's the receiver DB one-on-ones. You get to see the quarterback sort of operate in a different environment. It's, you know, it's just such a different thing. And I almost, you know, I brought this up a few years ago. Like, why not turn it in? And I'm sure you guys have these in Tennessee. You know, like some in some states, like the opening weekend of high school football, they'll have a jamboree where there's like a, you know, a triple header of scrimmages or whatever.
Oh yeah.
Turn it into something like that. Like, make it an event. Make it like a jamboree type event where you have, you know, two NFL teams in the field that are practicing against each other, and you sort of find a way to televise it and make it entertaining because it's so different. I think that's sort of the frontier that the NFL could work with, you know, where the players are in a controlled environment, injuries are, you know, less of an issue in that environment, and you're able to sort of generate something that's very different that the coaches would be appreciative of too, that I think would be a great take for everybody out there.
That's great stuff. Albert Breer from the MMQB has been our guest here on Morning Drive. Albert, thanks so much for taking time to join us. We appreciate it.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
You too. Great stuff from Albert Breer there. That was really insightful. When we come back, we'll continue the NFL discussion with the Titans. Also get into the NFL 100 list a little bit. That's next. This is Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.